Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my
lawn is unsightly. What the hell does that mean?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we have a very interesting guest, and we're going to talk all about mold and asbestos and the effects it could have on your health. What is mold? How do you get rid of mold should you discover it in your home? And what kind of health effects do they actually have? And also, we're going to talk about asbestos and how do you remove asbestos? I mean, it's that and much more right here, right now, on the Ameritech Connection. Isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. And today, our guest is Michael Wolf of SurPro. All right, now the owners of SurPro is Buddy Greenway and his wife Dina, and they actually have three franchises. That's SurPro of Largo, SurPro of Seminole, and of Northeast St. Pete, and the Central Gulf Beaches. So we're happy to have you here today. Preparation is a key component for making it through any size disaster, whether it's a small water leak or a large fire or even an area flood. So the best time for planning for these types of events is not when the event is happening, but well before it happens. So, Mike, welcome to the show. We're looking forward to this discussion.
Thank you very much for having me. I have come into the office quite a bit, so this is a great opportunity for not only SurPro but myself.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. So I'm going to start off with mold is found in every environment, you know, pretty much, and mold spores reproduce rapidly. So, Michael, tell us exactly, what is mold?
Mold is actually a fungi, and it actually is, we live in the Southeast, so it grows everywhere, Florida,
with
Alabama.
All the humidity.
Oh, yes. It does grow in the Northeast and northern areas, but when you have cold weather and dry weather, it really doesn't have a chance to really grow and expand. But down here, where it's nice and hot, usually about 6-8 months out of the year, you really put yourself in a position of having to really be aware of what's going on. So the best place for that fungi to grow would be in damp buildings, from water damages, poor ventilation, areas like that.
So keep your air conditioning going, right?
Keep your air conditioning going, but we'll talk about that later, about what to do about it.
Right. And it reproduces quickly, right?
Some mold can reproduce very quickly. Other ones take a little bit of time to kind of expand a little bit, but just think, yes, if you have mold, it's going to grow.
So especially in Florida, that's really what we have to be concerned
and
with.
Right now, this time of year is really good because you're talking April. By the time June, July, August comes in, it really gets hot and humid for a long period of time. You've got people that are seasonal that are going to go home. So there are things that they need to prepare to do, especially with storm season coming.
Good point. Good point. Well, we need to talk about that.
And there's all sorts of different types of molds, isn't there? I mean, there's good mold, right? And there's bad, very bad mold.
There's good mold?
Yeah, there's good mold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about that good mold.
It comes on that mushroom type thing.
Okay.
Right?
Let's talk about the other mold, and then we'll get back to that other one.
Just kidding. I know Vaughn's looking at us saying, yeah, I know the good mold.
Go ahead, Michael.
I have nothing to say about that, so we'll just keep going.
Okay.
Next.
So what's some of the bad mold?
Well, there's actually...
It's that black mold, right? That really bad stuff?
Right. There are actually two types of really bad mold. Let me go back. There are 13 common types of mold that you find in the area. The two that you really want to talk about is the penicillium.
Oh, I used to joke, oh, there's penicillin growing in my vegetable drawer here.
Right.
I always thought that's what got rid of the mold was the penicillium or penicillin.
You're talking about penicillin. If you want, I can come back in a little bit and let you guys argue it out. But
So you've got the, that's the black mold, and that's the worst kind, the penicillium?
Well, I'd like to talk about the other one.
Okay.
What's a Stachybotrys.
Stachybotrys.
Okay.
How do you like that? That is the black. That is the black mold.
Did I say that right? Stachybotrys blackus.
Let's just say
I'm going to get you a sheet after we're done, so you can that way you can spell it correctly.
I'll have to practice, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Forget about spelling it. I'm trying to pronounce it.
No, the Stachybotrys is actually called the black mold.
Okay.
And the other one, penicillium, is one of the other two that spread that are very bad, because the penicillium is the one that spreads. It's known to spread quickly.
Right.
And that is the thing that you got to be concerned about.
Okay.
Things that are spreading quickly. There are, as I said, there are 13 common different kinds of mold that you find in the area, but these are the two that we tell people to be concerned about the most.
Right. So it's for them to see that. There's an old saying that says that, you know, you need to get a hazmat mat on, and you need to get the proper equipment before you can remove it.
Breathing, because you can't inhale that, right?
Right.
It's
is
dangerous.
That true? Is there any substance to that?
Any extended period of time where you overexposure to that kind of mold, or any kind of mold for that matter, can cause a laundry list of medical issues. You can't say that if I have sinus issues, I got it because of mold. If I have respiratory issues, that you can't go back and say, oh, I have mold in my house, now I have this. So all you can do is you can just say, okay, if I notice it or I smell it because it has that musty smell.
Well, that's a good question, because, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, in fact, we had an employee that mm-hmm. was having headache problems and, you know, migraines and different issues. And the house kind of smelled funny, but what does mold smell like? You know, I mean, I know it has a damp, musty kind of smell.
Yep.
But sometimes
that's an interesting question.
Yeah, you can't recognize it. So,
to tell.
Yeah, how do you know? Is there any health issues?
If you smell it and you don't see it, tell us.
Well, there's a lot of different things that you can do, but I want to go back and touch on one thing when we talk about black mold. A lot of people, when they see their supplies for their AC, it's usually very dirty. No one cleans their supplies, and then mm-hmm. they see...
You're talking about in the return.
Yeah, in the return. Right. And then they look at it, and they see black up there, and they say, oh, my God, I have black mold, when it's just actually dirt.
Right.
Yeah.
So you really just got to make sure that you have your HVAC guy take care of your machine, make sure that they look at those things. So if there is something going on, you know it right away. But if it's smelling musty, like closets never get ventilated. Closets are always closed. You have a lot of boxes in those closets.
Not Sharon's closet. She's got air conditionings in there and all sorts of things, right?
Fans going,
yeah. But anyways, that's off the subject a little bit.
I will continue off the subject. It smells like
Dillard's.
Oh.
Yeah, it smells like Dillard's.
Or Nordstrom's.
Or Nordstrom's, yeah. Probably Nordstrom's more so than Dillard's.
I will say good for
There's
her.
A shout out to those retail stores.
I guess so. It's commercial time.
Now, you could do an air quality test in the home, too, if you suspect that you have mold. And what does that typically cost, and what does that come up with?
Well, I think that the first thing we need to talk about is if you think that you suspect that you have mold in your house, you want to call a professional. You want to make sure that the person coming in is licensed to give you a report that not only tells you what kind of mold is present in the house, if any, but also the levels that you have. And then when you get that report, you're going to be able to determine, okay, whether or not you need to then go to the next step and have it remediated, and that's where you call companies like ServPro in. But there are companies out there that you can look up online that people will come in. Generally, the cost is anywhere from, let's say, a couple of $100 to $1,400 or $1,500, depending on who does it, what you're going to get out of the report, et cetera. So it's hard to put a number on that. Right.
And we have used you guys, and you guys, just to give you a plug, have done an outstanding job for us.
Yeah,
over the years,
and you guys have been with us for many, many years, so we really appreciate ServPro of Largo.
Well, we enjoy and appreciate every phone call that we get from any customer.
Right.
And
no matter how small the job is, that's what we like.
We appreciate that. We've done a lot of work for you, and every time we get the phone ringing, that's what we're happy about.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So when is mold testing necessary then? Because, you know, someone might overreact with a little bit of mold. You know, how do we know that it's not behind the drywall? I don't know. Give us an idea.
What ends up happening is when you do call somebody and you suspect you smell mustiness, you see some black on the wall, or even now there's blue or green mold, there's pink mold.
Really?
All these different
kinds
of molds.
Oh, you'd like the pink mold, huh?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
There's pink mold?
Yeah, there is pink mold. I actually have verification that there is, so we can look at it.
We just like you to go with the pink mold. We don't want that long technical name after that.
She's looking for the
designer.
She's looking for the designer mold.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's from Nordstrom.
That's good.
But no, what actually happens is people that come in and actually do the testing, what they do is they do two tests, one outside to get a baseline. And then after they get that baseline, they come into the house, they bring a little filter in, they run it for X amount of time, and basically what it does is absorbs the environment that it's in, they bring it back to the lab, and then several days or a week later, you actually have the results of what you have as compared to the outside or baseline. So then you know where your levels are. It can be below, above, or way above.
Right. Now, something with spores, too. I mean, that determines how much mold you have in there based on the spores, the spore count?
Well, they measure. They have a particular level that would be considered normal, spores or mold.
Because there's mold, frankly, in every. In fact, there's mold in this radio station, right?
Right. But the thing is that what you want to.
It does smell kind of musty in here, doesn't it? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know it's okay.
She's always.
I'm happy to be entertained. It's all good. No, I think that in terms of mold or spores, I'd prefer to talk about just the mold because I don't want people to think that there's two separate things we're talking about. It's all the same to us.
Right.
You've got mold spores. You've got mold. It's bad no matter what because it produces toxins.
Right.
The toxins are the things that smell musty, that get into the body, that are actually cause all those health issues.
Right. So how do you remove mold? I mean, you know, they see it. We talked about dumping some bleach on there, I think, earlier. And
bleach will kill it.
You know, bleach will kill it. But does that really kill it? Does it come back? I mean, how do you really know that you've gotten rid of mold, except for obviously removing the drywall, which I've had some restoration companies say, oh, the drywall's got to be removed.
I think that what ends up happening is you need to see what kind of moisture that you have in the house. That would be the first thing. We have meters that can look. We have thermal imagers that can look behind the wall to see if there's any moisture behind that wall. That's a really good indication. Let's say you had a water damage somewhere around where the washer or dryer was, or anywhere else in the house, or if you're in a condo somewhere above.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's obvious. The ceiling collapses. Yeah, okay, water damage. I got it.
Or roof leaks. A lot of roof leaks, you don't know they're there until, you start smelling something funny.
Yep.
Even after a fire, if I'm not mistaken, and that could be in a hot, humid climate, and then you've got your utilities shut down, and now you got this house that's closed up.
Correct.
And that will cause some issues right away.
Right, exactly. So you have a variety of things that you got to navigate through to make sure that that doesn't happen. So what you do is you want to find out, to go back to the original example, is you want to be able to determine behind the wall or the floor whether or not there is something behind there. We can use thermal imagers as equipment that we can use to see how wet it is.
Right.
And if it is wet, then we can say, okay, we need to do these particular kinds of things to dry out your house.
Right, right. Now, just again, to recap, it's really important for those that are down here 6 months out of the year and they go back up north to leave their air conditioning settings on. I mean, even if it's at like 77 or 78, because moisture will, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but will start growing if they shut the AC down and moisture causes mold, right?
Exactly. What you want to do is you want to think about, and this is just generally if you live here or not, keep your air conditioning 78 or below. 75 ideally, but 78 degrees or below. But the biggest thing is you want to make sure that the humidity level is trying to be below 50%.
Right.
People think that when if I drop the air conditioning level down to 64 degrees, it's going to help. But that may not help the humidity.
Right.
It's the humidity factor that makes a difference.
Right.
So the worst thing you can do is leave your heat on, right?
Well, really?
Yeah.
That's a silly question, don't you think?
No.
You're going to leave your heat on as you go up north and it's going to be...
No. I know, because this is a problem for, you know, leaving your unit with the heat on, is what I'm saying.
Is there a problem with the heat on?
I would think if you...
Would the heat not dry it out?
Do you want to be above below 78 degrees?
Well, I guess you wouldn't be if it was in the summertime.
Right,
you
so
put
it
the
would
heat
be
on.
A problem.
Might be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people make mistakes. You know, they leave and they forget and you walk out and you don't think about it.
Well, I think that a lot of times what ends up happening is when you have seasonal people coming down, their mindset is New York, Michigan, where they
right.
know that there's a period of time where it's going to be hot and humid and they're right. not going to have to worry about it. But then what ends up happening is when you have that extended period of time, where you've got that 8-9 months of humidity, a short amount of time where it is dry, you've got to think, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that my house stays dry even when I'm not living in it?
Right.
You don't have to worry about Michigan.
Well, you know, it's
That's
different.
True.
They don't get the fact that Florida is full of moisture. I mean, the humidity factor down here is huge, and that causes the problem in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. So does one need insurance for mold?
I think this kind of ties into what we were talking about, people who are seasonal.
Okay.
This is my own personal feeling. I think that when you live in the Southeast, let's stick with Florida,
right.
I think you should have insurance that covers mold.
Is there such an animal, though?
You can call your insurance company. You can get the...
Yeah, I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the reason is because you want to have mold coverage as well as water damage coverage.
Right.
Because what can happen is if it goes onto water damage, there may be a cap. There may be a cap to mold also.
Oh,
but if you don't have mold coverage, you may not be accredited or however the insurance companies use it when you get these kinds of issues. So my feeling is that you should think about getting not only water damage coverage, but also mold coverage too.
Well, that's smart. Okay, that's good.
Okay. So let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about the black mold and so forth, but what are some of the types of mold most important that people should know and very common out there, the most dangerous mold?
Well, the two that we talked about earlier are the two most common.
What are some of the health effects that take place on those type of molds? I mean, what would be the symptoms if I had that in my house right now?
I think that everybody's different.
Would I be twitching or, you know, I mean, I do
that.
You
do that anyway. So let me hear it, Michael.
I'm telling you.
No, that's, you know. Listen, I'm patient. I will wait.
So if I'm not twitching, am I coughing?
You could be.
I could be? I mean, the breathing, obviously it's respiratory.
That could be true also.
Right.
So we can go on from there. No.
Is there anything that our listeners should know that,
yes,
you know?
Yes, there's a laundry list. The most common ones are sinus infections or sinus issues, respiratory issues. Dermatitis would be one.
Dermatitis. What is dermatitis?
Inflammation. You itching all the time.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Skin disorder
where you've got it. You just feel like, okay, what's going on? I just don't understand why I'm itching all
you
the time.
You know that too.
Well. My legs itch at
nighttime. What about if you get, if there's mold? Yeah, I can't talk. If there's mold in the venting system in your home.
Right.
Is that possible?
Sure.
Can it grow there? And how would you ever think to look there to know? You just get sick all the time? Would that be the case?
Yeah, it permeates through the air because what it does is the air conditioning system just circulates around. So let me give you a few of the other symptoms that you can get from it. Neurologic problems. Weakness.
That's your problem.
I was waiting for that.
Neurological problems. I mean, you know, so we may have some mold in our house, you know.
I guess that was a Freudian slip on my part. I probably shouldn't have brought that up.
I let him have that one.
I'll tell you, I'd probably be a while before I come back to the office.
Usually she gets me like 5 out of my 1, you know.
I'm going to call the office and find out when you're not in, just in case.
Yeah, right.
But no, there's a really host. Aaron Brockovich. Everybody saw the movie Aaron Brockovich?
Yeah.
There's a great little story with that. She bought a house, the home of her dreams in California. Her husband was having weakness, forgetfulness, neurologic problems, a whole host of things. She found out that her house was just completely
infested with mold.
Yep.
Wow.
She tore the thing apart to the point where people were like, just tear the house down. She goes, I love the house. I don't want to get rid of it. So she actually, they tore like a $300,000 chimney setup out. I mean, you just saw the house. It's on YouTube. Where you can look it up. It's really kind of amazing.
You can't, I mean, if you got a house that badly infested with mold, there's no way to like tent it like you would with termites or anything like that. I mean,
you actually just basically have to gut the house, make it a construction site. You want to seal the studs because mold can live inside the studs.
Oh, wow.
So even when you think you've cleaned it and you've treated it with the antimicrobials that we use,
right.
You need to seal it so that way it can't come through that.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of things that we can do as a company to make sure that once we're in there and that we're taking care of it, it's not going to come back.
So how do you test like mold studs, you know, or studs or mold in the studs? I mean, how do you test that?
Once you're in there and you've got your report from your air testing quality person, you know that you're going to have to take a certain amount of things apart. But now that you've done that and you've exposed that, now you just have to do the complete, and that's part of what we do. The complete job is to seal that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Vaughn, I think we have a couple callers on the line, so I'd like to take one if that's okay. Hello?
Hi.
You've reached the Ameritech Connection. What's your name?
My name is Michael.
Hi, Michael. You have a question for Michael at ServPro?
We got a lot of Michaels here.
Yeah, we do. Which Michael?
I'm coming. Yeah, really. Michael from ServPro.
I just had a real quick question.
Sure.
Is mold, if I decide to clean it myself, like say I can't, you know, say I can't get someone, can I just clean it myself? And if so, is there anything that I should be wearing? Like, will a face mask do me just fine, or should I not touch it? Because, I mean, I get the stuff in the shower all the time, and I don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah, what most people do is they use bleach on mold. But bleach, mm-hmm. It smells, it's very bad for your sinuses, long exposure to it. You know, if you were going to use some bleach on anything, or there's even products that are cleansers specifically for the shower that actually has bleach in it, and it says for mold, mm-hmm. I would wear gloves. I would wear a mask if you could get one, or cover your nose and mouth while you're using it, and then just make sure that the place that you're cleaning is well ventilated, whether it's with a fan or a window open or something, so that way it doesn't get back on you directly.
And then rinsed well. Take care of that.
Exactly.
That's your last process, I guess. Your last step.
Yep. So it is possible to clean it and kill it, but the problem ends up being is you're only killing the surface, what you can see. You may not mm-hmm. be able to capture things that you cannot see. That's behind the wall. So if it comes back, there may be more than meets the eye with that.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I know we got some more callers on the line, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. All right, Vaughn?
Thank you, Michael, for calling.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and...
You're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years' experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Michael Wolf. He is the Business Development Representative from ServPro of Largo. And today's show is all about mold and asbestos and the effects it could have on your health. But I think before we go into more questions, Michael, Vaughn, I think we have another caller on the line. I'd like to get that person on here. Hello, you've reached the Ameritech Connection. And what is your name?
Yeah, my name's Matt.
Hi, Matt. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. It's in regards to the outside of my house. Can any type of mold ever cause any structural damage to the outside?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
A lot of the houses in Florida are brick or a block wood. Or not block, not wood. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have to worry about the mold trying to get in there. But if you look at a lot of the houses that are made of block, you see the discoloration at the bottom. A lot of times what we can do is just power wash those and clean those
off.
But
Matt's got a good point. So mold can actually get into the wood.
Right. There is actually a mold that can cause dry rot in wood.
Right.
And if you have a lot of areas that don't drain well from around the house, then you really should either think about having somebody take a look to make sure that the water, because it rains in Florida and it rains a lot, and sometimes those areas don't dry out, especially if it faces the north side.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or they're an area that don't get a lot of sun. So you want to make sure that those areas that stay wet are well drained or have good drainage, so that way it does dry so that that yellow mold can't get in there. I'm not going to give you the scientific term.
Oh, God. We have pink and yellow and black.
Yeah, exactly. So it can get in there and cause
the
dry rot. So, yeah. So the answer is...
What's the scientific term?
We'll move on.
Okay, Matt, have we answered your question there?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks for
listening.
Have
a good day.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
All right. What are some of the don'ts to keep mold from spreading? What are some of the things you got to do to keep the mold from spreading? You know, I mean, if you see mold. Like, for an example, you know, I had a house that had this cedar siding on there, and I constantly had issues with dry rot with this cedar siding. We finally replaced the cedar siding with T111, or not that T111, but that hardy board. Now, do you think that on that house that I have, that rental house, do you think I might have a mold issue because of all the dry rot that I've had because of the, you know, because of over the years it got moisture and, you know, I mean, is that a problem?
Well, wood that becomes punky is just no good to anybody. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're really thinking that there's something wrong with the structure of the house, need to have somebody come out there and really take a look at it.
There you go. I'll get you out there to take a look at it then.
All right. we can do that.
Yeah. Because that's what you would advise, though, is just to have it looked at.
Even though on that one side of the house, on this house of mine, and it's a two-story, there's really good sun exposure. So I'm assuming that it probably dries out pretty good.
On one side, but not the other.
Well, yeah, but the side that dries out is the side that was rotting all the time. In fact, I had this house for like 15 years, and I replaced that side like 5 times over a 15-year period. And I finally said, you know, I'm just going to do it with hardy board. And it looks the same.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not having any issues. Yeah.
As long as you're happy, that really is all that matters.
Well, yeah, but I just want to make sure there's no mold behind the hardy board.
The only thing I can suggest is that if you think there's mold in there, you need to do mold testing from the inside of the house, then great. I mean, certainly can happen. But, you know, I don't want people to spend their money frivolously either to say, hey, look, I think I have mold. I'm going to call somebody and spend $1,000, say, or $500 to get somebody to come in and look at it. You know, it's something that you take a look at it, you really make sure that, okay, there's symptoms, there's something, there's a mustiness, there's issues going on that I can't put my finger on. And then you can call somebody and they can get good suggestions on maybe what they should do.
Right, right.
Okay.
You really want to be smart about it. You just don't want to just fly off the handle and say, okay, I'm going to spend $1,000.
Well, for a couple, $200-$300, as you said earlier, not $1,000. But $200-$300
Yeah.
Depends on who you
call. So there's the price.
Yeah, there's a price factor. That works.
You can get somebody out there and do some air quality testing.
Yeah, air quality
And then test. At that point, you know, if the levels are high, then you know you got a problem.
One thing about the air quality testing, we do not do that. We actually want to have a third party come in, so that way the scope of work that's created is objective. If we come in and say, okay, you've got mold, and $20,000 later, we're going to get rid of your mold, there could be a little bit of a conflict of interest. By having an independent person coming in, doing the testing, getting the positive or negative results, then what we can do is we can say, okay, we'll go through the scope of work based on their report. So now everything is above board and very objective.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I like that. Okay. So if I – we talked about this a couple of times.
Sure.
Seasonal person who's
yep.
here, you know, 6 months out of the year.
Yep.
Just what are some of the things that – they should do.
I'm glad you came back to that because
yeah,
there's some things.
Because I'm sure there's a laundry list of items.
There's a whole ton of things. I think the biggest thing, and we didn't touch on this earlier, so that's why I'm glad you brought it back, is ventilation. Making sure that you have some, if you are a seasonal person, make sure somebody goes into your house, looks.
That's, yeah.
Just
yeah.
Not just open the door and say, yep, everything looks good and leaves. You know, is the air conditioning running? How do you know?
No,
what about the hot water heater? Is there anything wrong with that? Is the hot water heater on?
Well, you want to make sure the blinds are closed to keep it as cool as possible.
Open. Leave
no,
the blinds
leave
open.
Leave the blinds open.
You
okay.
want the sun to come in.
See? What do we know?
Exactly. I'll tell you a quick
leave
little story.
Leave the blinds open.
I'll tell you a quick okay. little story. We did a job where a young lady was a seasonal person,
mm-hmm.
closed her condo,
mm-hmm.
dropped the shades down, brought a dehumidifier. She put the dehumidifier at 70. And put the air conditioner at 80. She thought the dehumidifier was temperature, not percentage of humidity.
Oh.
So she basically had a science experiment when she came back.
I bet.
So
I mean, she probably had all sorts of shit growing in there, didn't she? Huh?
Well, she had mold anyway. I don't know about the other stuff.
But. Yeah, I know. Well, that was good. Yeah.
You like that?
That's
cover?
The brown mold.
That's brown mold.
Okay. That's the green Hawaiian mold.
Hang on. Let me get my pen. Is there a scientific name for the brown mold?
Yeah, right. I think he just said it.
Hey, Vaughn, we got some more callers?
Yes, we got one caller on the line.
Hey, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air live. What's your question for Mike Wolf at Surf Pro?
Yeah, mine's about asbestos. I want to have my ceiling tested. If they find out that there's asbestos in my ceiling, what's the best way to go about removing that?
That's a good question.
Much like mold, I tell people all the time, if you want to remove it, make sure that you get somebody who's qualified and trained to take it out. What you don't want to do is, with asbestos especially, is disturb it, creating dust. Dust creates issues, creates another host of medical issues. You want to have a company in there that is designed to contain the area and take it out properly and permanently for you. So that way there's no other issues after they're done with that work.
Well, asbestos is some really bad stuff. I mean, they stopped using that years ago, but it's still in some of these older buildings. So, I mean, my understanding is if you breathe that stuff in, you inhale that stuff, you got some serious issues that could develop, correct?
Yeah. Years ago, back in between the 1930s and 1950s, they used asbestos for a lot of things.
Right.
Insulation for plumbing, electrical, roofing, brakes. Brakes on cars, drywall.
It used to be, what do they call that? They didn't use drywall back then, but it was more like a plaster of Paris.
Right, plaster. Yep, exactly. Then in the 70s, they found out that, what do you know, asbestos causes cancer, mesothelioma.
Right.
So
oh, wow.
They, since the 70s, there's been a big to-do, to say the least, with the EPA and OSHA and a lot of other places of reducing the amount of asbestos being allowed to be used. But when you have a lot of the buildings in Florida that were built in the 70s, 1975, 1977, they were still putting up plenty of buildings and drywall and this, you know, with asbestos, popcorn ceilings. It's in the popcorn
ceilings. Right.
What,
I know.
What is asbestos?
Asbestos is a fiber. Asbestos has basically been around for 4,000 years.
Right.
It was easily mined by the Romans, and they used a lot of it when they were building all of their castles that they built back in the day. And it was just basically used, especially during the Industrial Revolution. But like I said, back in the 70s, they realize, oh, causes cancer. We need to reduce the amount of exposure that workers, naval, people in the Navy, people who were building ships, they used asbestos all the time. Naval submarines, any kind of naval vessel.
Wow. Right.
So,
and you're really confined there.
Yep. So
that's terrible.
Extended period of time is an issue. That's why you have to wear a mask and the proper protective equipment.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, listen, we hope we've answered your call. You didn't say your name, by the way.
Kathy.
Hello, Kathy. Thank you for listening, Kathy.
Hopefully I answered your question.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. All right, Vaughn, I think we have another caller on the line. Hi, you've reached the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air live. You have a question for Michael Wolf?
Yes. My name's Rebecca, and I think you might have hit on it. I'm worried about asbestos, but it sounds like my house was built in 2013, so it sounds like I'm pretty safe. I don't need to worry about any of it.
Well, the newer houses obviously are, they probably have a chance of having a lot less asbestos built, put in it versus a house that was built prior to 1989, even, certainly in the 70s. So the chances are slimmer that you could have asbestos in there, but I wouldn't take anything for granted. You know, it wouldn't hurt to have it checked no matter what.
I mean, where would you find asbestos? I mean, if it was in her house, I mean,
you mostly drywall. It could also be if she has popcorn ceilings, or it could be in plaster, like material.
They don't use asbestos anymore. I mean, if the house is built in 2013, and I'm just being, you know, devil's advocate here with you, they're not going to use an asbestos product because I don't even think they make it. It's kind of like lead paint. They don't even make lead paint anymore. Do they even make products with asbestos in it?
There's a lot of green that's out there, green things that are environmentally safe. And those are a lot of the things that they're...
They're good for the trees, but bad for the
humans. That's not green mold, though.
So that's not green mold. Or brown mold.
So they're good for the trees and the environmental aspects of it, but they're bad for
the
humans?
That's why they're called
green. So your oak trees are fine.
My oak trees are fine. Okay.
All right, Rebecca, I hope that we've answered your question.
Thank you so much
for calling in.
So how do you test for asbestos? I mean, you know, how do you know then? You know, I mean, she's got a good question. How do you know that it's in her house, even though her house is 2013? And as you said earlier, you don't want to be silly spending a lot of money for a house that was built in 2013. It probably doesn't have asbestos. Right, Sharon?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you...
Whatever you say.
How would you test
for
it?
I want to talk about the colors. No, go ahead.
Why do they have different... Do they have pink asbestos?
I'm sure we can come up with one.
Oh, wow.
There will be.
What you do is you call a company. They come in. They take samples.
Call a company like ServPro, right?
We do not do that testing either.
All right,
again,
well, we would still call you, though, because you would recommend somebody,
We would recommend somebody.
All right,
basically, it's, again, using a third-party, objective, final test. So that way, it's not that, hey, you have asbestos. Now you have to spend $20,000 for us to abate it.
No, I understand. But you guys are a straightforward type company. You're not going to go in there and say there's asbestos in there when, in fact, there really isn't.
Right. And it really and the thing is, with having a report for both mold and asbestos, it protects you, too, because now you have the levels, you have the numbers, you have the scope of work that needs to be done to safely get rid of it all. So by having an asbestos testing company come in, they will take their samples of the area. They'll bring it back to their lab. And within a few days or a week, you're going to be able to get the numbers in of whether or not you have it. Now, the number percentage-wise is 1% or over. That's the level. That's the normal. You can have a little bit of asbestos in some material, but as long as it's not over 1%, you're okay.
So, all right. So what are the health risks if you're exposed to it then?
The biggest thing is the dust. The dust gets captured into the lungs, and then extended period of exposure to asbestos can create. The two biggest ones are mesothelioma, which is a form of lung cancer.
Wow.
And the other one is asbestosis, which is scarring of the lung due to the fibers of the asbestos getting inside the lung. So those are the two. 80% of the people who are exposed to asbestos get mesothelioma or lung cancer.
Oh,
so
80%?
80%.
Well, how much exposure does that take then? I mean,
it really depends on what kind of ventilated area you're in, how much protective equipment you use. If you don't use any, if it's an enclosed like a submarine where they're putting asbestos in the lining of the sub, how much exposure do you get?
All right, but a month?
Everybody's different. I mean, I'm just...
So within a month, you could...
It could be.
Wow.
I mean, George Burns used to smoke a cigar for 100 years, and nothing ever happened to him, so he could be one in
That's
a million.
True.
So you just, you never know.
That's true.
So how do they do the testing, though? I mean, you know, they go into a house. What, do they just take a sample of drywall or something?
They take a small piece of drywall and a small piece of, let's say, the popcorn ceiling, or they actually cut into it.
Right.
They put it into a bag, and basically they bring it back to the lab, and they run their test on it. And it's a state-certified, like the mold testing is state-certified, so it's a quality test at the end.
Okay, interesting indeed. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening. We're going to be right back in a couple of minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in over-treating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963 or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. For those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Michael Wolf, the business development representative from ServPro. And ServPro services, just so you guys know, the Largo, Northeast, St. Petersburg area, Seminole, and Central Gulf Beaches, and they're an outstanding company. Then today's show is all about mold and asbestos and the effects they could have on your health. So, Michael, here's a question for you. If you're going to remove mold from a asbestos from a house, do you need a permit?
Yes, you do in a lot of cases. Now, there are certain people that are exempt from getting permits.
I mean, you got to get the EPA involved and all this other stuff?
Well, assuming that you need a permit, you need to go down to the county, you need to do all of the things officially that tell everybody that you're going to have asbestos abated, and then basically you'll have everybody who is either owning the home, doing the work, in charge of checking the work, all of those people that are surrounding that job, everybody's in the know, including the county.
Now, do they have to go in? Now, I know asbestos is definitely a little bit different than mold. Do they have to go in with hazmat suits and everything else to remove it?
It's very similar, where they have to isolate the area, whether it's the entire house or just a room that has to be contained. They contain it. They use what's called an air scrubber. What it does is it actually filters the air. They captures all the dust that may be created. They try and reduce the amount of dust that they can when they're taking the asbestos away. But this air scrubber will also, with that charcoal filter, capture a lot of the impurities in the air while they're taking it away. Then they bag it up, take it out, and they do what they need to do to get rid of it.
All right, when that's all done, do they actually do another air quality test to prove that, you know, it is now asbestos free?
Yes. What actually happens in the mold, in the case of mold also, is you have what's called a clearance test. When we do a mold job, after whether it's a complete and utter construction site or just a room, whoever has done the initial phase, in other words, the testing itself, will then come in after we're done, do that clearance test, which will be the same evaluation that he did or she did before, mm-hmm. and then we'll get another report to say whether or not that has cleared. Same thing with asbestos. They go in, they check it, they do that test, and then afterward, after they're done, they do that clearance test. It has to meet certain requirements. Once it does, and if it's done properly, it'll pass.
Now, do you get a certificate saying that, you know?
You get a document that says that you are free and clear and ready to go.
Okay, so if you got to sell the house, that's certainly a disclosure issue.
Oh, absolutely. That's 100% of that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, Michael, what goes through your mind when you're inside someone's home who just experienced a devastating, let's say, fire? I know firsthand, unfortunately, you know, you have these feelings of sadness and you're heartbroken. You see these people going through your own personal belongings and stuff. And, I mean, what goes through your mind as an outsider?
Well, to me, and it's just my opinion, I think the thing that bothers me the most is you have people that are retired and mm-hmm. they have a lifetime of
memories,
mm-hmm. pictures.
Well, items that can't be replaced.
Items that can't be replaced. Right. And you can't put a price on that. And it's in a box and you have mold or you had a fire where, mm-hmm. you know, the people it's are burned. Coming in, it's all burnt or it's, you know, they used water to take care of the fire. And our people that come in try and categorize and try and clean it. And we do a fabulous job of that. And we rebox it. We have a warehouse where we can store and keep it dry. But you just... that makes my job easy for our guys that work at our office.
No, I hear you.
They do a very good job of making sure that they're very careful about those kinds
of things.
These
are your employees.
Employees of Buddies, right?
Right.
We try and make sure that those memories, we try and save those. It's just so important because after that, what do you have?
These people have to be considerate of the owner of that
we
home.
We try and be very aware of that.
Well, Sharon, you had an experience with fire.
Right,
in fact, you lost a bird and a dog.
Yeah, two birds. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the thing is that you're also traumatized because it was a lot of the oily soot, you know, and it was probably years after that every time I saw black, I would think of the fire, you know. So
leaves a double mark on your in your brain of what's going on.
So people are traumatized. I'm sure it's difficult to have your people go in, but at the same time, they're very considerate and
we
understanding.
We try extremely hard to make sure that
and you take good care of the items, personal.
There isn't a customer that we deal with that we don't try and make sure that they're like every customer, you know, and that's important.
Yeah. Now, I know when they came into my house, I don't have a lot of junk around. My home was very organized and everything
she's
in its place.
She's a neat freak.
So, but I'm curious, are you ever in anybody's home?
A little bit of a pack rat, too.
No. Is there anybody's home that you've ever been in where it was like a hoarder and you're like, oh, my God, where do we begin? Do you have any stories on that?
We have a few places that we've gone into where
they become fire hazards, some of these hoarders. I mean, we've had some homeowners in our condo associations that we manage where it's been unbelievable.
You're not talking about Sharon, are you?
No,
I just said that
she's not a pack rat. She has a hard time getting rid of something that, you know, like there's this old carpet that we have, right?
Oh.
And this carpet is like been stepped on for 30 years and she still thinks it has value.
It's still rolled up?
10.
Yeah, we had to roll it up and move it.
There's nothing in there, right?
No, nobody.
No, we check for the mold, and we're good.
That's good.
But so you have been in some homes where it was a bit
difficult. I think that
the
easiest way to explain it is a lot of people who move from one area of the country to the other have, let's say, 3,000 square foot of house. They try and put it a 1,500 square foot condo. That can be difficult because no one wants to part with those things.
They
don't want to part those things, so they put them in a box, and they try and so neatly put them in a place, and they label it, and when something happens, it really, you know, creates a lot of trauma when they move it around. I said, I thought I had that. And
see, my philosophy's always been, if in doubt, throw it out. You know, that's simple.
Sometimes that works.
So you don't like
it
memories.
It works all the time, huh?
Mm-hmm. You don't like memories, huh?
Well, I do like memories now. You know, I mean, the pictures and so
thank
forth.
Thank you. Yes, I agree.
I'm just asking you questions.
All these memories can go on electronic stick now. You know, you don't need to have, like, these boxes of pictures and so forth. You can scan this all in.
That's a good idea.
And put it and reduce it down to a
little
USB
that?
Stick.
Why don't you do that for me?
I will.
Yeah, there's about 4,000 photos.
And there's
all 35 millimeter, right?
There's about
She's going to do that tomorrow.
There's about 200 exactly. boxes in the garage that she's got to go through, you know?
We have but a 10-car garage.
In the garage, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Is it mold in there? We can take care of that for you. I'd have it tested, just in case.
So what types of buildings, speaking of asbestos again, contain asbestos? Is it the older buildings? Or usually it's office, old office buildings.
And, it's a and lot of the
they,
older buildings.
That's what they refer to as a sick building, right?
They can. There's a lot of reasons for sick building. You have bad air conditioning, bad ventilation. There's a lot of reasons that people can get sick. We went to a place that somebody was getting sick because the air conditioning system wasn't well, it was old. It just needed to be replaced. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing wrong with mold or asbestos or any of that stuff. It was just the AC unit needed to be serviced and replaced. So it doesn't have to be just one or the other. It can be a variety of things.
Yeah. Right. All right. So does one have to get tested after the work is completed just to make sure that they're...
Yeah, we did the clearance test. You know, whether it's mold or asbestos, you get a clearance test.
Okay, a clearance.
That's what we talked about earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was dozing.
Yep, that's fine.
I was contemplating the pink mold versus the brown mold versus the black.
That's a family thing.
So Mike, tell us some kind of, you've been in this business for a long time. Tell us some funny stories that you ran into, you know, looking for mold or asbestos.
Whatever it was you were looking for.
You know, yeah, whatever it is that you were looking for.
Maybe pictures, memories.
We didn't know. That would be my own house. I'll use my own as an example. When we moved, that was the exact same 3,000 square foot of house down to about 1,500.
Where are you from originally?
New England.
Okay.
So, my wife, I would say, you can thank me at any time that we don't have as much things to throw out as we once did. So
because you threw it out.
Yeah.
Before you
much.
Moved it.
And if you can't remember that we had it, you don't need it.
There's nothing worse than moving it and then throwing it out. You want to throw it out before you move it. Right, Sharon?
There's nothing worse than throwing it out ahead of time and then saying, where is that item? My God, you threw it away.
Here's my argument, though. You're looking at the guy who's going to probably have to move it. So if I'm putting it in
a
box.
Ditto. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm putting it in a box, then I've got to really kind of wonder, okay, do we really need this?
All right. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick short-minute break. Keep listening. We'll be right back with that and much more on the Ameritech Connection.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.